some point it was even more successful than his Friday and Saturday night parties.
Oh, it's so cool.
And for us, and in the end, people were not coming for these guests. It was actually irrelevant who's playing. They were coming for the two of us and for our selection, because we were just like not pretentious at all. And we just did it for fun. And when you do something like that with an open heart, with no ambition, then, you know, sky is the limit, and you can feel this energy that's really like easy and just pure fun and joy.
I agree with that. I think there is something about, I mean, like for everything, I think the artists, the more genuine artists are, either DJs or singers, or it actually, you can feel it, especially in this live performance.
Yeah. And also thinking about these times now, it's a completely different feeling than when you actually become a professional DJ, when that is your job, you know, and when you do it night after night, day after day, and you need to like really deliver. We didn't have any demands. We didn't have these ambitions, and there was no demand on any behalf. So we were really like free and brave.
Thank you.
So that's how it started. And I was a bit more intrigued by this DJing more than my friends. So I used these parties as an opportunity to practice my mixing and to start playing a bit more present, you know, to think about tracks that I'm mixing and combining. And then the seeing all these other DJs yeah. and traveling all the time. So I learned a lot on the road in a different role, in a role of someone who's singing and performing live, but it was still a big experience. But I didn't take myself seriously as a DJ for a while. And even like very quickly, promoters around Serbia started inviting me and offering gigs on my own. And I kind of like started developing my own name only like after a couple of years. So already in 2007 and 2008, I played some festivals and I played some bigger parties on my own. I still didn't see it as my main profession, and I didn't have this like firm decision, okay, now I am that. I was still kind of confused. But actually, like around 2010, I would say, I had to stop working on TV because the whole media environment became very commercial. The environment somehow pushed me to make certain musical and ethical compromises that I never wanted to make. So I just decided to stop being involved in TV altogether. And then I had to, you know, sit and think, what am I going to do? Because this was my job for like the last 10 years. And then I realized, okay, DJing really makes me happy. This is something that I do, and I know how to do it, and I feel happy whenever I do it. And also I had to actually admit to myself that I'm doing it every weekend, and that I'm also frequently traveling now as a DJ, not as a singer. And the people actually recognize me, certain people recognize me as a DJ. So I had to make this decision for myself. For years, I was afraid to admit to myself that I am a DJ, because that was never really my ambition. It just happened spontaneously. And I also encountered a lot of like conflicts, a lot of hatred, a lot of even harassment, like and online bullying and all of that stuff here in Serbia for being a female DJ. Yeah. So it was kind of like, I didn't want to officially be that, because I thought I would be even more exposed to this kind of bullshit, pardon my French. But actually I had to admit to myself that I am a DJ, and that I am DJing every weekend, that I get paid for it. And I can easily just say, okay, now this is it. I'm a DJ. I'm not a journalist. I'm not this. I'm not a promoter. I'm not a press person. I'm not any of that. I am a DJ, and this is what I do. So that came maybe after 5-6 years of DJing already, in let's say 2010-11. And then I realized that I cannot do it professionally and earn a decent living in Serbia alone. So yes. I knew that I would have to reach out somehow internationally. And I wanted to, my goal was to find an agent, like an international agent. So I worked with a few agencies in Berlin from 2010 until 2015, but somehow it never really worked out. I would get like occasional bookings here and there, but it didn't really work out. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, my profile in Belgrade and Serbia was really like raising, because I was simply a better DJ, because I accepted that as my job. And my parties were becoming more and more successful everywhere. And then I got invited to play like some big stages and festivals here as well. And then one of the festivals hosted a boiler room. So it was the first boiler room in Belgrade. And I got a good slot at this boiler room. And then this was the breaking point when people found out about me internationally. That was 2014. But it took me another year to kick off properly. And it was only like when I started working with this agency in Berlin, Dystopian, that was quite well connected and very powerful and influential at that moment. So I started working with them, and they could really understand my background, the uniqueness of my background, the things that we talked about at the beginning of the interview. They could really understand, and they made it actually my selling point in a way. Yeah. I mean, of course, they've seen me play live, they've listened to my mixes, they had confidence that I'm a good DJ, and that, of course, wherever they recommend me and push me to play, that I'm not going to disappoint that I'm like able to deliver. But as in every other market, you know, your product needs a selling point. Because I didn't have my own music. I'm not a producer. I didn't have my own releases, which is always something that can help and that can push you actually in the music world as a DJ. But I always like wanted to keep these things separate. And I really think that being a producer has nothing to do with being a DJ. And you don't have to be a music producer to be a DJ or the other way around. And I really was very persistent in this principle to just like not be a producer if I don't feel like it. If I feel like it, yes, I'm going to do it. And I did some small things and a few remixes later on. So yeah, the storyline and the whole why I was interesting was actually because I'm a girl from Serbia and I have all of these crazy stories no one else can actually say. And the way I grew up also developed a certain, let's say, like a wider perspective to music as well. So it was always very hard to pinpoint what kind of music am I playing. I'm like, I'm usually booked as a techno DJ. And yes, I do play techno. And let's say in the widest sense of this word, I'm a techno DJ, but I'm like, my sets are always full of surprises and people always learn a lot. I think that also has to do something with my growing up and learning about and having all these experiences in Serbia, because that was the deal here. We didn't listen to only techno or only rock or only this or only that. Being cool meant you have to know everything about every cool musical genre.
I love that you are saying this. This is so true. I also heard several of your sets. You have a very eclectic taste, but I think that's exactly what differentiates you. So your agents are really smart, because that is a good selling point. That explains a lot.
Da se vidim sad, pa čekam da umru i mislim da je, kažu da ne prepoznaju. Yeah.
Hi, it's Tiana T, and you're listening to Give Me a Beat.
Personally, I'm not a huge fan of techno. And back in the day when I was DJing, my focus was mostly hip-hop, kind of old-school hip-hop. But the thing is that I love different kind of music and I appreciate the good music. And when I heard you, I was like, okay, this is a good DJ. And what she's playing is very interesting. The first thing that I did, I checked your playlist.
Thank you.
And there is this nerdy element, I think, you know, like knowing exactly what is what. I had this since young age. And I feel that that's where this eclectic love comes from, because I think the people that just love one type of music, they just listen to that music and never even think about it. If you like different type of music, you have to start thinking about it. I think that's connected.
To be honest, like, this is a harder way. And my agent, as much as he respected that I'm so well musically educated and that my sets are eclectic and exciting, and that was one of my selling points. But on the other hand, this is something that can actually make an agent's job harder. And it's actually something that can work against you, like, or not in your favor, because, you know, music business is a huge industry, you know, and being part of that industry means that you really, like, have to define your position. So it's always easier if you are playing one style of music and then you are recognized for it, or if you're dressed a certain way, or if you have a certain hairstyle, or if you have like certain moves. This is all what defines you as an image or as a product, as I already said. I mean, yes, music is something that's very spiritual and it's very emotional and it has multiple dimensions and layers of something that's deeper. But if we talk about the business and if we talk about the music industry, where you have to like find your place because it's highly competitive and everyone is a DJ these days, you really have to be very smart. So what a lot of people choose is the easier way, is to define their image. So they dress a certain way. So every time they post something on social media, you know exactly that this is this person, because they're never going to dress anything else. Let's say Richie Houghton, one of the most famous DJs, yes, and most influential artists, and especially like one of the defining people in techno history, he's always wearing black. So never see him wearing any other color. And this is Richie. He's always wearing black. Everything is always very minimalistic. His record sleeve designs are minimalistic. His parties have this minimalist design. If you come to his party, if you want to be among his friends who are behind him on stage, you need to wear black. Otherwise, you're kicked out. He has this like blonde hair with this like fringe that goes on like the side fringe. And this is something that he's been keeping this haircut for the last 30 years, because that's Richie Houghton. It's like, you know, it's something like a Barbie doll. Like when you think of a Barbie, you don't really imagine like an African-American with curly hair. You always imagine like this blonde, blue eyes. And so that's Barbie. And, you know, like when you think of Richie Houghton, that's Richie. That's he has this fringe and he's wearing black and he's playing this minimal music and everything is minimal. So that's actually a very smart thing, because, you know, if you change all the time, if you change your style all the time, promoters and people who are behind all these events, they're not quite sure where to place you. Should you play with the techno DJs on a techno stage, or should you play with eclectic DJs on an eclectic stage, which is something that up until recently didn't even exist. Like there was no eclectic stage. Only certain festivals had one or two of these stages. But normally it was like you have a techno stage, you have a house stage, you have this and that stage. And if you're somewhere in the middle, or someone who plays all these styles of music, like they get confused. And they can't place you. They don't know where you belong. And I remember my agent also telling me, you know, maybe you should consider just taking this one path. And once you become insanely popular and hugely successful, then you can experiment and play all of these styles that you like. And he was right. I know that if I kept going, you know, if I just stick to one genre, to one style, I would probably become way, way more successful than I am or that I was. But honestly, as someone coming from Serbia, for me, the success that I achieved is already huge, because I didn't start from zero. I started from a big minus. So, you know, my starting position was way behind all of these other people.
Yes.
So for me to be this stubborn and this determined to just play any genre I like, any style I like, to not produce any music, to not have any of my own releases, to not belong to any clique, to any label, to any club, to any, like, any group of people, and to just do my own thing and be able to have like over 100 gigs a year and to visit every continent on this planet, it's already a huge success. For me, like, I don't have to become one of the top 10 or one of the top 20 and earn hundreds of thousands of euros, because already what I have achieved is something that no one from Serbia has ever done before.
Don't you think that actually, regardless of all of that, I agree with this, what you're saying. You already achieved really a huge thing. But don't you think that there is even a bigger value because you managed to stay yourself? As I'm talking to you and getting to know you, I feel that that is even more important than actually being one of the 10 biggest, most famous DJs in the world or something.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I can do whatever I want. If I play this business game, if I just stick to one genre, if I created my image as a product, let's say a recognizable product, I would have to meet these demands. So I would always have to fulfill other people's expectations of what I am, yes, which is a trap, really. It's really a trap.
It is.
When you reach this level, of course, you always want to maintain it, because anything below this level can be like disappointing or seem as a failure, seem like your downfall. And then in order to maintain this level, you always have to meet the expectations of this wider audience that recognizes you and wants you and buys into whatever you do because you fulfill their expectations. And this is something I don't have to do, which is good for my mental health.
And I think it makes you, it keeps you, or it enables you to stay creative, the way I see it, you know? And I think your fans actually know exactly what you are going to bring to them regardless. Even if they don't know, they know that you will going to bring the kind of a surprise and the element of unexpected in your gigs, and that's what they're expecting in a way. So,
yeah.
And that's a kind of expectation that I think for you, it's no problem to fulfill that, because I think you always have some ideas how to bring that unexpected, and it gives you lots of space to be creative.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm also happy that I'm not so hugely successful, and I still have people who are discovering and just learning about my sets and my music and whatever I do now. And I see these comments online on some YouTube sets. Oh, I just discovered this artist. And that's still exciting. And then they dig deeper and then they discover more and more sets. And then they're like, oh, wow, there's this and there's that. And all of this is exciting and it's different. So I think it's a good position to be in. I mean, of course, it's never a bad idea to become a millionaire, which some of these DJs are, but...
but wait, you're still young. There's time to do that.
Yeah, I think there's maybe time for that, if we ever manage to have parties again.
I know that at the moment it doesn't look like, but I'm sure we will be able to have parties again. In the meantime, you are still listening to Give Me a Beat. I hope you like tonight's show. There is lots of conversation going on, but I think it's also an